It's my pleasure to introduce our final speaker in this session. So this will be Dr. Jose Joaquin Campos. Am I getting it about right? Good try. Okay. Dr. Campos has received a BSc in forestry from the University of Sao Paulo in Brazil. He obtained an MSc from CATI. Is that the correct pronunciation of the acronym? CATI, I'll come to this. Okay, in Costa Rica. In management and natural resources, and a doctor of philosophy in forest sciences from the University of Oxford in Britain. Since 2008, Dr. Campos has been director general of CATI, and which is an international organization for research, education, and technical cooperation based in Costa Rica. As such, he's overseeing 100 research and development projects in 17 countries across Latin America. Previously served in various positions in CATI, including director, deputy director general, director of the Department of Natural Resources, and environment, director of the Latin American Chair on Forest Landscape Management, head of the Forestry Department and faculty, a member of CATI's graduate school. He's covered almost all of them. He worked with international NGOs and on integrated conservation and development projects. He's been an adjunct professor at Laval University here, closer to home. We need to fix that at McGill, right? So, published extensively. He's had 30 years of professional experience, published more than 100 publications in his area. And so, again, clearly somebody who's had a major impact. Dr. Campos.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. I want to thank the organizers for inviting me to be here with you. Such an important conference. I'm going to give you just one perspective from CATI, probably a bit different from what you've been listening in this conference. It's about our approach to integrated watershed management, water management and food systems. And first, I want to give you some context of the institution so you could understand why this approach has been developed in CATI. CATI's functions are based in three key functions, research, higher education. We are a postgraduate school, master's and doctoral programs. And also we provide technical cooperation to different countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, which is our mandate area. We are a small organization working in many countries, so our strategy is to integrate these functions and also to collaborate with different partners in the region and from outside the region. And what we do is we generate then scientific knowledge, which has to be very much related to the needs in Latin America and the Caribbean. With our graduate school and training unit, we aim at forming leaders that can understand the complexity of the challenges that we are facing and still provide viable solutions. We also implement projects that contribute to agricultural development and the conservation of natural resources. We also contribute to public policy and mainly providing the science as an input in that interface, science and policy. And we work in alliances with many different partners, from local partners, national partners, international partners. And also we serve as a platform, regional platform, where different partners actually are located in our campus and work with us in the different projects in the region. These are the member countries. Most of our projects actually are implemented in those projects, and we also have national technical offices and staff in those countries, and we are opening new projects. And just to bring you into the context of why I'm going to explain next our approaches, we know about the importance. We recognize the importance to develop sustainable rural solutions to address the present global challenges we face today. Those challenges like food security, water security, climate change, environmental degradation, rural poverty, they are somehow interconnected, and they are complex, and they are very dynamic. So they need a different approach. They need an integrated and collaborative approach. We say they need an intersectorial. We need to approach them with different disciplines and different scales, as was presented in the previous presentation we heard. And also, we believe that rural areas are very important. They are strategic for the provision of ecosystem services, including water, including food, but also other ecosystem services, and therefore for human well-being. And in that respect, we believe that one fundamental condition is the social and ecological resilience of the systems for local and global sustainable development. Also, 70% of the poor, according to the Millennium Assessment, live in rural areas, and where they depend very much on agriculture and natural resources. And therefore, the sound development of those two sectors is key if we want to achieve the Millennium Development Goals through rural sustainable development. And therefore, system approaches aligned with adequate policies and institutions at different scales, national, global, offer good potential to address the global challenges. So some of the main paradigms that we are implementing to address those challenges is actually to enhance resilience, social, mainly talking about social and ecological resilience, which are at the same time very much interdependent, via enhancing the capitals, particularly the human, the social, cultural, and political, and natural capitals at the different scales, including integrating those scales, including genes, for example, the improving genetic material, at the stand farm level, production systems, the watershed, the ecoregion, and also more administrative scales like farm, household, municipal, national, and global scales. And another important paradigm is that having this increment in world population and probably the reduction on land available for food production, we face the challenge, which is to reconcile production with conservation in managed but also in the wild ecosystems, maintaining or even more enhancing their capacity to provide ecosystem services. And we do it through different production systems, sustainable agriculture, silvopastoral and agroforestry systems, and sustainable forest management. Also, we believe it's very important to work at different institutional levels, like the use of economic instruments and market-based approaches to manage those ecosystem services, including, again, food production, water production as well, and to contribute at the science-policy interface to create an enabling environment for the implementation of sustainable land management practices. So, in order to make this complexity applicable in the field, we have decided to work to choose three different systems or system approaches. The first one, those are the sustainable livelihoods approach, the landscape and management approach, and the value chain approach. The sustainable livelihoods approach, the objective, the focus is the livelihoods, the assets, and the capitals of the livelihoods under a vulnerability context and the overall institutional environment. And the goal is to develop, to promote sustainable livelihoods. At the value chain, with the value chain approach, the focus are all the actors from production to the final consumption, and the goal is to increase social responsibility and equity, something that it's actually been developing in some parts of the world. And at the landscape management approach, the focus are the economic and socio-economic interrelationships in the biophysical and political administrative spaces, with the goal of developing more sustainable territories. So we believe that the combination of these approaches, which is not easy, requires lots of leadership, understanding of the complexity, committed people to do this, but can be implemented. And one example, and here we can see a watershed and where lots of food production happens in our regions, in our countries. And the way we are doing this is by selecting what we call key landscapes. We implement different activities aiming at sustainable livelihoods, sustainable landscapes, and also sustainable ecosystems through those system approaches. First, implementing sustainable agriculture and forestry systems in the same landscape. also restoring degraded pasturelands, which is very important, particularly in Latin America. Pasturelands, it's a very important land use system and very important for the livelihoods of many people in this region. And also by developing more inclusive value chains and making those production systems more competitive. And also by helping competitiveness by using economic and market-based instruments. For example, how landowners, farmers could produce more food if they are compensated by the measures they have to conserve at the same time ecosystem services. And also in the part of the region where I come from, Central America, is a very important initiative which is called the Mesoamerican Biological Corridor, where a lot of agriculture is produced. And locally led biological corridors are an important instrument to actually achieve sustainable development. And something that I believe is very important, goes along one of the scenarios of the Millennium Assessment, is by facilitating, promoting collective action through better local governance structures and co-management schemes and processes. I'll go into that based on the... And how do we address or do we see the solutions for the global food crisis? It's very much aligned with what I said before. It's by increasing productivity, food production. We do it through developing improved germplasm, improved soil fertility, enhanced pest and disease management, and, of course, irrigation, as was very well presented in the previous presentation. Also by enhancing competitiveness and resilience and asset building by households and communities, also enhancing the agro-enterprise and the value chain development, and also that considering managing the whole landscape. And also by enhancing institutions, by improved policies, better institutions like governance, we believe local governance is very important and creates better conditions for food production and better water management, aiming at more and better food products, also sustainable and competitive livelihoods, landscapes, and ecosystems. Also, it's a way to mitigate and adapt to climate change. We believe that in these landscapes, in a watershed, for example, the better the social and ecological health of the landscape, the more resilient that landscape would be, for example, to the pressures of global change, including climate change. Also, more social inclusion and equity, including market access and benefit sharing. And another important outcome would be the conservation of our biodiversity and the ecosystem services in order to actually sustain food production, and improved policies and governance that would reduce trade-offs. So I'll go into what I think is an important element to consider if we want to address these challenges is through collective action. I believe that the changes we need to see in the world, I don't think we are doing enough. Probably most of us would agree that we need to do much more. We need millions of people making those changes, and those, for me, that's collective action through effective local governance and co-management processes. Collective action depends a lot on effective governance and institutional arrangements that involve local groups in decision-making and implementation, and actually that make local people lead the process of decision-making in the way how they want to see those landscapes being managed and transformed. Based on our experience for many years on participatory action research in different landscapes like watershed management, model forest, which is a concept developed here in Canada that was taken into Latin America, and CAT has been very much involved in a regional network of model forest, and biological corridors, based on those experiences, we are building. And I have to be humble with this. We are building this based on the experience we see, but it's as any model, is just not a perfect representation of the real world. So it's what we call an adaptive co-management model. And a common feature of that model is that it focuses on achieving shared goals, building organizational processes and structures at different spatial scales. I'll show it to you in this visual representation of graphic representation. The first element is to begin with the end in mind. What's the vision of the territory of the watershed? We believe, and that was a big change in the way, for example, we were doing watershed management, that any landscape, any territory is a social construct. Technology, it's very important, but at the end, social institutions, social processes will transform the landscape, the territory. So what is the starting point is a common goal related to water, to food production, to forest, to biodiversity. Based on that or from them, a very important component of this model is the development of formal or informal platforms like the water users associations that we heard in the previous presentation could be one of those, but we believe that it's important that the stakeholders could sit under those platforms. And in those platforms, there is another element, which is the stakeholders who sit there. We have to bear in mind that the context usually is of latent conflicts. Not all the stakeholders will share the objectives of the future of that landscape. And very important is that they aim at negotiation and concertation among the different local organizations, the different stakeholders, with the national organizations. And then it comes to the next level, which is developing a common local agenda based on that shared territorial vision. And in here, in this process, they will decide how much land would be used for agriculture if they want to, what technology they need, irrigation or whatever technologies they will use. Also, they will develop, and we have found a common element in functional processes like this is financial mechanisms, different or market-based mechanisms, so that they will be able to finance the priority actions. And we found that it's a key element, particularly related to water, is using the ecosystem services as the vehicle to define, to set priorities in critical areas, to focus actions in those critical areas. And the fourth element is social learning. It's very important that all these models develop a critical and systematic reflection process to learn. And in that way, they are developing the rules, the norms, the arrangements, so that those landscapes could interact in the different the stakeholders will interact in those different landscapes or territorial units. And that's been developed at a pilot scale, but we also been implemented that, and it's important to bring it into larger scales, to replicate these experiences through what we call the scaling up and scaling out into larger areas, or incidents, contribution to policies, communicating those experiences, exchanging these experiences with stakeholders in other territories, and that way this could be replicated. So this is the model we are developing along with local partners and other partners. And the whole idea, talking about collective action, is that we should aim at constructing a virtual circle for sustainable development where food production, water, conservation happens. And through this, it's important that we develop the capitals, the assets, like through this collective leveraging collective action, we are enhancing the social capital in those territories through adaptive landscape co-management, which means enhancing at the same time the natural capital. Oops. With that, we create conditions for a knowledge dialogue and the platforms, and this way we are actually enhancing the human and the cultural capitals. At the same time, then we create conditions for better management of natural resources, again, enhancing natural capital, support expansion of livelihoods, through the participatory processes, again, we enhance the social capital. Through policy incidents, policy dialogue, we enhance the political capital. And through the use of market-based approaches, we are then increasing the financial capital in those territories. And this then, we hope, will create what I found, I believe it's fundamental, which is social and ecological resilience as an element to build more sustainable livelihoods, landscapes, and ecosystems. And I'm using this sign here because, as I said before, with any model, once reading about building mathematical models, I read that one of the principles is that all models are wrong, all models have to be validated. You never should fall in love with a model, mathematical model at least. And so I want to finish saying that this is under construction. We're still validating this with our partners, local partners and other partners. And I thank you very much for your attention.